ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदे घोर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, still greetings from New Jersey. I'm a little bit hot, so I have to take off this charter. I'm tell you what my strategy is. Obviously, I started more classes. It really actually doesn't have to be on Sunday in one sense. Well, no, many people do work and wouldn't be available at this time. But definitely people are home and they have more time for chanting and hearing. Some do. Some people are involved or even busier. I just spoke to Cybele, who helps me organize the Bhakti Immersion. And she's the a manager for 19 hospitals of some high management post, and how incredibly busy she is, of course, trying to coordinate all the different things that are required. But I started to give more classes, and I started one at this time. And what I decided is, at least now it's going to go on for some time. I didn't know how long this thing would go on. I thought I could give seminars that I've given outside that perhaps some of you haven't heard before, and develop them further. So that's what I thought. So I really thought of this seminar, The Art of Living and Dying. And it also gives me an opportunity to kind of hone the seminars. But why I thought of this is because when I was preparing that seminar on The Art of Living and Dying, you know, in my studies, one really profound point came up. And it was in Plato. It had something to do with one of his dialogues, Phaedo, something with Socrates. And, you know, sometimes some things are said that are just like a mantra, and that it's so powerful. And when you have like a very powerful philosophical point, when you have a very, very powerful philosophical point, you can take it in different places and apply it, and it kind of sheds light to so much meaning in so many different ways. So the point that was made, which actually inspired me to talk today about the art of living and dying, is Plato was asked to summarize his philosophy, or maybe it was Plato describing Socrates. And he said, practicing dying. Um, And I don't know, personal circumstances that don't go your way, and more shared personal experiences that don't go your way, they really bring to the forefront what goes on in this world and what practicing dying means. What practicing dying, like to die properly, means to give up the false ego. And that'll be clear in my presentation. And the false ego is the conception, I am the controller that binds you to the body. That conception is the root of all problems. And if you give up that conception, you don't die. The experience of death is due to that conception. I often define death as the illusion of non-existence. The illusion of non-existence. That's an illusion. But why do we suffer that illusion? Because we want something that we can't have in reality, which is to be the enjoyer and controller. So what happens is we're connected to a particular body that allows us to get that experience and also be purified of the consciousness behind it. And that element that connects us is the false ego. So circumstances that move beyond one's control are teaching you to face the ultimate circumstance beyond one's control, death. One time I was in Vrindavan, and a friend of mine, great Sanskrit scholar, he worked with me for many years. I don't know why he said this, but I remember his conclusion. The pain of death was not the physical pain, because you generally go into coma, there's drugs. It's the losing of attachments. We have to learn to be happy or not be disturbed when things don't go our way. Because the only problem when they don't go our way is it's an affront to our false conception of the self. From the real conception of the self, things never not go our way. Because it's just a different opportunity to serve. So what I thought I can do is, in this class, is share with you some profound experiences I've had of people who were dying, who had some level of realization. And I think one reason I've had those experiences is because I lived in Vrindavan, where devotees come to leave the world. So I had a lot of experience. In fact, you know, Iyengar Prabhu, he had this vow that he actually took. And the vow that he took was that when any Vaishnava would leave the world, he would go and do kirtan there as a service and stay there until the person left. So I remember several times I was in that same circumstance where someone told me someone was leaving, and I went to the room. There was a great devotee Sanskrit scholar, kind of local boy makes good. He was from Brooklyn. But he became a profound Sanskrit scholar. And he had translated all anything you had, he had already translated. So then he started to write sonnets in English, poems of Krishna and his pastimes. I think he wrote 28,000 sonnets. He wrote 3 novels. He was a bit eccentric. But I remember someone told me he's about to leave. So I went in the room. You know, and then shortly after, Andrew's there, Kirtan, he left. And remember, they turned him over. And he would write 5 beautiful poems every day. And there was that day he was able to write a poem. But anyway, I had many, many experiences. So I kind of wanted to share that. And not just because of my experience, but because it is such a key part of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's practical, you know, there's a whole chapter devoted to that moment called Attaining the Supreme. The 8th chapter is about what I would call death tattva, with very, very significant verses like yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyante kalevaram tam tome vaiti konteya siddhatad bhava bhavataha. Whatever you are thinking at the time of death, to that nature you will go. And of course, it's siddhatad bhava bhavata. It's not just a thought process, because you won't be in control of the thought process. It'll be your bhava. Your bhava stays, your mood stays beyond that thought process. Therefore, I was actually there when Prabhupada came to Vrindavan for the last time to leave the world. And it was such a moving scene. We were waiting for him outside of his room, not many devotees there. And he came, he actually came by train from Mumbai. And he was carried in like Haridas Thakur in the arms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or if you've been to the Vatican and saw the Pieta of Jesus Christ. And Prabhupada folded his hands just before he went into the room and looked at us and said, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Adyeva Me Vishatume Manasi Raja. Let me die now, when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet. Otherwise, how at the time of death will I be able to remember you? Prabhupada said that. How? Unless there's this bhava. So it's an important subject, the Gita, the whole Bhagavatam, at the 2 main books, the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is predicated on a question by a person who is dying. What is the duty of a man who's about to die, and what should he not do? The whole Bhagavatam is an answer to that question. How important to actually to keep. It's important because it has it informs your life. Death informs your life. And the answer, therefore, was Variyan Esha Te Prashna Krita Loka Hitam Dipra. Your question was glorious, Atlavit, because it's relevant to everyone. Because who can say who is the person who's about to die? You can't say. It doesn't really refer to age. It refers to everyone. So it's meant to practice. And you know, I was thinking that too. I think age is really great, or age can be great. And I was thinking that how important it is to respond to the things in your world with a sense of Dharma, and therefore experience Krishna's protection. Because one of the symptoms of Sharanagati, or surrender, or taking shelter of God, is that you will experience his protection, in the sense that you'll be able to understand that whatever he is doing to you is best. Whatever he is doing to you is best. That's what protection means. And living like that, you kind of get a sense. You kind of get a sense of that. You kind of get a faith in that. And how important is it to have that faith at the end, that real confidence, that even this is the protection of Krishna. Even this is the best thing for me. Because again, the physical pain is not as heavy as the mental pain, the fear. In fact, that experience, without spiritual knowledge, that experience where you are threatened with non-existence because you don't have enough realization to see the soul, that experience is so profound. The desire for not death, but not realizing that you don't anyway, but that experience that the body should not be annihilated, because the body is the self. And it's not just a theoretical thing, but that experience creates such a samskara that I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want to lose this body. I don't want to lose the things in relationship to this body. I don't want to become non-existent. As the in terms of that false egoistic conception of the self, the impression to avoid that is so strong that, and this is one of the proofs of reincarnation, that a child who doesn't in this life have experience of death is terrified of death. And the explanation for that is because it's embedded in the soul. It's embedded in the soul. Practicing death, when we're practicing death, Hegel and Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, I met him once, amazing Vaishnava and a great scholar, and could really conceptualize and express things. He used to quote Hegel, the philosopher, die to live. Die to live. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he reasons Hill, who say that Vaishnavs die. For Vaishnavs die to live, and living spread the holy name around. Die to live. What is the death? The death is of the false ego. So we die to live. We give up the false ego, that sense of control, exploitation, selfishness. And we try to live in the soul. I spoke this morning on that, that there's activities of the soul, which is devotion. And there's activities of the body, which are basically two bodily activities that are connected to devotion. even enjoyments that we need, that we do this because to keep the body and soul together, and things that we do so selfishly. But when you're on that pure spiritual platform, you're doing devotional activities, the tendency is to identify as the soul, which is a consciousness, reaches its fruition in devotion, to identify with the soul as a servant of Krishna and get that confidence that the real me does not end with the body. That's why we have to identify as devotees, not just an external thing, an external dress, but really identify that identification, I am not this. Gopi Bartu Padakamalar Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That identification, that identity, which is real, it's eternal, that doesn't end. So how to identify with that and give up the other? That's what life's about. It can't be done necessarily in renunciation. There's a process. We work through our desires, but we have a goal. Actually, I was talking to Mahamuni. Some of you know Professor Matthew Dasty. He's a philosophy professor. He's a great resource for me, both in Monday morning greetings and, you know, so I was speaking to him this subject, and he sent me something called Memento Mori. This is mostly with Christianity, but I think it also comes from Plato also. Things that remind you of your temporality in this identity. That's the thing where they keep skulls and these type of things. It's kind of a little bit morbid in one sense, but the conception behind it, to keep that remembrance. I picked out a quote from one Stoic, Epictetus: keep the prospect of death, exile, and all such apparent tragedies before one every day, especially death, and you will never have an abject thought of desire, anything to excess. So that's renunciation. Now, there's something psychological here, because psychologically, we want to deny that. The real way to deny death is to identify with the soul, but we want to deny death in terms of the annihilation of this body. And remember, Bridgestrup had one book, one philosopher just talked about this, Ernest Becker, called The Denial of Ernest Becker, called The Denial of Death. The denial of death, and how psychologically so many things that people do are for eternality, for fame, for family, it's for eternality. So it's such an impetus within us. It's such an impetus within us. And we know there's actually that one story from the Mahabharata where Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Yudhisthira was challenged at the pool of death. This is the ultimate reality quiz show. You have to answer 100 questions. And if you miss any of them, you will die. And then he got up to question 99. And the question was, and he had to answer really quickly, what, and he's Dhammaraj, so he has to understand religion. What is like a frying pan what is the fire and who is being fried? They said, boom, it's quick clicking down. And then, oh, he said, this world is like the frying pan. Karma is like the fire and we're being fried. Then it said, of all the things in the world, what is the most amazing thing? This was the last question and supposedly the most difficult of the questions. What is the most difficult thing? And then the answer was, my father's died, my father's father's died, everybody's mother's died, in the whole history of the world, everyone has died on the bodily platform. Everyone. And the most wonderful thing is, we don't act like that's a reality. We don't act now based on that truth, which is undeniable. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam too, Deha Patya Kalitradishu Atma Sanyesh Vasatsvapi Tesham Pramata Nidam Vishanapi Napashyati. That everything is fallible in protecting us. We're denying death, we're trying for eternality in so many ways. They are sanyesh, we think they're fallible. Pashanapi napashyati. We see, but we don't see. It's so obvious, but we don't see it. And, you know, it brings to me, I remember my grandfather, somehow he was always in India, but I was called back to the United States for some ISKCON meeting, and I never went in September. I was always in India. And as I was leaving, I got a call that my grandfather had passed away. And can I come to the funeral? And I'll have to admit, I'm still on the platform of a fired up Hare Krishna, who could have been more sensitive. You know, my parents said, can you come to the funeral? I said, yes. They said, well, can you dress a little bit different? No, this is the way. I didn't even have actually clean press clothes. But, and it was very posh. His two sons were multi-millionaires, Long Island, posh. All the family walks in. So I walk in with my seven males, one girl, my brothers, all with their beautiful wives. And then and they walk in last, and then I walk in. You know. But my uncle gave a eulogy about my grandfather. We knew this. He left the hospital seven times. He walked out of the hospital seven times. He was in his 90s. He never in his life went to a funeral. Well, the relatives all knew this. There was always an excuse why he wouldn't go to a funeral. He always had an excuse, some sickness or something. His last words, to his youngest son was, I thought I was wise, the wisest of the wise. I thought I was strong, the strongest of the strong. But it's not true. That's what the message of death is. So what I want to do now is just give you some examples of people in higher consciousness who left the world. I listed them down here. think I'll leave Prabhupada for last. I was there in the room when he passed away. I think the most profound example is I had a god sister named Gauri. And she was an exceptional soul, from very good family, and gave up everything to dedicate herself to her spiritual master. And she was distributing Prabhupada's books and very dedicated to it. I knew her quite well. I remember, her father was the head of the Peabody Museum. That's the Harvard Museum. So she didn't come to a life of renunciation, but she was renunciating because she had nothing to do in the world. And those days, people were fired up, and they were 7 days a week, 12 hours, and they were so enlivened. And then they opened her up, and she got cancer. She had cancer, and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. So she went to Vrindavan, and we used to read to her the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as her body was going down, her spirits were going up. We could see this. And then there was an Ayurvedic doctor, his son, Leeladhar Gupta, is still there as an Ayurvedic doctor in Vrindavan. His father was Narottam Gupta. He gave him some medicine, and the cancer went into complete remission. That was in November. And what did she do? She went back to America for the Christmas marathon. this person was so, this cannot be imitated, this level of renunciation in bhakti. It's not fanaticism. It was legitimate depth of perfectional realization after so many lifetimes. And she went back. And then after the Christmas marathon, it came back. She came to Vrindavan. And she started to deteriorate. And then the summer came, and I went up to the Himalayas with a book distribution party. And we ran out of books, and we came back to Vrindavan. When I came back to Vrindavan, immediately I was told, go to her room, she's leaving the world. I went there, she was on the floor. She wanted to die on the floor of Vrindavan. I think they had a mattress, but she wanted to die on the floor of Vrindavan. And the kirtan was going on, and her god sisters were just showing her pictures of Prabhupada before her eyes. She was fully conscious. And somehow, I don't remember how, but her Radha Krishna deities wound up in my hands. So I was holding her Radha Krishna deities. And in those circumstances, the kirtans, there's no call and response. It's just chanting and chanting and chanting. The Ayurveda doctor walks in. I've told this story before, and maybe some of you have heard it. He feels her pulse, looks at her, and says, disease is finished. Disease is finished. You have 1 hour left to live. Ayurvedic doctor can do that. When Prabhupada was leaving the world, I was outside his room. It was in the morning, and the Kaviraj was talking to Bhakti True Swami, who was treating Prabhupada, and said he will leave, in a certain amount of hours, and that's when Prabhupada left. So they can tell by the pulse. So you have 1 hour left to live. And I always thought about that, what that meant. Disease is finished. What the Ayurvedic doctor meant is that the false ego was finished. That's the disease. It's the connection to the body, not the deterioration of the body. The connection of the body was gone. And I'll tell you how actually he was right. I'll just make one side point. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Asochan anvasochas tvam pragyavadam jabhasgatasun agatasun nanupanditi sochita. Right. You're speaking learned words, Arjuna, but you're a fool. The wise man laments neither for the living nor the dead. Now, I'm thinking about that. Doesn't that sound so unempathetic? Doesn't that sound so cruel? The wise man lament neither for the living nor the dead. And then I thought about it. What it means is we don't lament for the change of body, but we lament that people suffer the change of body because they don't have transcendental knowledge and realization. Otherwise, and of course, there is separation. When a soul dies for 11 days, you're in mourning. You don't celebrate. And after 11 days, you celebrate. Because the emotional separation is there and it should be felt. But the lamentation is not for the change of the body. It wasn't a lamentation, it was a separation. When Prabhupada passed away, it wasn't lamentation for us, but the separation, because he achieved Nitya Lila Pravishna Om, he achieved perfection. And it's unfortunate, you know, I wanted to spend time with my mother. She's 99 years old in 2 months. But because of the virus, my younger brother, who has the right because he's taken that responsibility, and the caretaker don't want anybody else in the house, I feel basically the risk of the loneliness is worse than the risk of the disease. But I'm healthy. I've been here for 14 days. Let me come. But I'm not going to argue with them. They have the responsibility. So I was able now to call the people are able to call the caretaker, very nice lady, Annabelle, and, you know, FaceTime with my mother. And she's so grateful, so grateful. And I do that regularly. But I'm sad. I'm not sad so much that she'll pass from this world. I'm more sad that she doesn't have that kind of realization, that spiritual realization, which changes the consciousness and the attitude. I mean, she's pretty good. She's not bored. She's not complaining. She has no regrets. Wonderful soul. But still, that's the lamentation. Lamentation is not that the body is changing, vikara. The lamentation is there is identification with the body that is changing. So now with Gauri, disease is finished. Disease is finished. About 30 minutes before she's about to pass away, she says, take a picture of me smiling. For my god sisters in LA, because there was a group of about 7 or 8 women that was so dedicated to Prabhupada, such evolved souls. This is not ordinary. This is Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kastyad Yatati Siddhaya. This is of many, many people who try for self-realization. One may achieve perfection. These were the ones that were achieving. They were so dedicated. They were just in the mood of service. They had no other considerations in their lives. These were amazing souls. And this Gauri was one of them. So she said, take a picture of me and send it to, she named one of her god sisters, Vrindavan Vilasini. I just saw her the other month in Vrindavan, retired in Vrindavan, to show that we can achieve perfection. She said something like that. By this type of bhakti. And what does bhakti mean? Not renunciation. Bhakti means whatever Krishna wants. Our responsibilities, our spirit, material spirit, what Krishna wants. I'm surrendered to what Krishna wants because I'm a servant of Krishna. It was so powerful. And then I remember about 10 minutes before she left, she said, "This is intense." That's how conscious she were. And then she passed from the world. So that's the that's what we have to practice. We have to practice being a soul. We have to be practice being a soul. We're servants of Krishna. We have to be under his will. According to our level of attachment, there are different responsibilities or duties or not. But under his will, that type, this is what bhakti means. And we have to practice it because we're not there. We're not Mother Gauri. I'm not Mother Gauri. But we have to practice it. That's why we're listening to the class. That's why we're in devotional service. That's why Prabhupada wrote the books. I remember another kind of profound example. There was one business lady, but she was very devoted. She gave her donations to Krishna. She helped in so many ways. She was very, very devoted in her own way. Her son studied in India. He lives there now in Mayapur. Her name was Suchirani. Her son was Ananda Tirtha. And so she was trying to get cured, and she's very close friends. Some of you know, one of my best friends is Bhurijan Prabhu. His wife is named Jagatarini. They were kind of mentors to her. And Ayendra was coming every day and doing kirtan. And then about 4 or 5 days before she had passed away, she said, I want to go back to Australia. Ayendra was so upset. He told later in his mind, what is this, go back? But, you know, Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagatarini, they're mentors. They have integrity. It's her life. So they were making, and the next day she went down to the extent that she couldn't continue. And then an interesting thing happened. She surrendered to death. She gave up the fight. She realized that this is God's will, and I'm to serve this, not to fight this. She gave up the false ego. Death was finished. I'm not going to fight this. Okay, it's a religious principle to try to stay alive as long as possible, but God speaks and says, now's the time. And if he does, then you have to accept that. Like Kamarupa, great Vaishnav, used to save the cows in Vrindavan. He had a stomach thing. He went to Delhi. They opened him up. They said, oh my God, cancer's all over your body. It's terminal. He went back to Vrindavan with his cows, stayed there and left. No false ego. I'm not the controller. This is what God wants. And when you do that, it's not easy. When you do that, there's no debt, but you have to practice it. Now, I wrote several articles in Waves of Devotion on death. May 28th, 2018, Why Death? September 11th, 2017, Death Made Simple. April 23rd, 2018, Practicing Death. December 2nd team. December 2nd, 2009, Fear of Death. So, the thing that I want, I can't find. Give me a second to find it. Okay, I found it. This was not Vrindavan, but this was a great soul. She was a disciple of mine. And some of you may remember her. Some of you knew her. She was an older lady. Her name was Jayati Radhika. I went to visit her just before she passed away. I went with Jai Jagannath and we did kirtan. It was up in Massachusetts. And at that time in New York, she was probably the longest serving devotee of Radha Muralidhar, because when they lived on Manhattan Avenue in Greenpoint, she used to visit there. And she was a simple lady, and she was a nurse. And she always was so content, but she had, most of the devotees, they come from this scene or that scene or something. She's just a New Yorker, an older lady with a family. And she gets an easy journey to other planets in 1981 from a young devotee. She goes home, reads it cover to cover, searches the nearest ISKCON center, which is Radha Govinda, and she never looks back. And before she died, she had 48 regimens of chemotherapy over 16 years. And terrible rheumatoid arthritis. She was always in pain. And she lived in Howard Beach, and she had to somehow come to the Bhakti Center on Sundays. It was so much. And she was always content. I mean, amazingly content. And she had this beautiful smile. And so I began the kirtan with Jai Jagannath. And she tapped her feet under the covers. She was so grateful. And no dejection, no bitterness. Even at the end, her husband got sick and she was taking care of him. And I asked her, I really had to ask her this. And I asked her, I'm reading, so I'll be looking down. How did you remain so joyful over the years, despite the tribulations you faced? And how did you remain so even in the face of death and distance from the association of devotees? Because when she no longer can take care of herself, her children stepped in and brought her to a kind of a hospice. It was kind of nice. not so far from where I live, upstate New York. I think Donna Cayley's on this, and he did. I asked him to check on her, and he did a nice service for her in that regard. So in a simple way, and she was so simple, she just looked at me and said, Krishna is in charge. Leave it to him. Everything will be okay. And I kind of pressed further, but I said, aren't you afraid of death? And she said, people ask me that all the time. Not at all. I kind of look forward to it. I just know that Krishna is in charge, and if I leave it to him, everything will be okay. I felt that way from the first day I went to the temple. So much pain for 16 years, 48 things of chemotherapy, rheumatoid arthritis. When I meditate on her face, it was always a smile and always content and never disturbed. Amazing. And, you know, there was no alarm or drama in her reply. It was matter of fact, almost amused that I asked it without fear. And I kept on thinking of that. Krishna is in charge. Leave it to him. Everything will be okay. Wow. I wrote an article about her called It's an Old Soul. Anyway, just a few more examples of that. Probably the most revered godbrother, self-effulgent, respected by everyone, as on the highest level of devotion. And I can say this with confidence, because everyone felt that way. It was an old Bengali gentleman. It would be a whole class that I could give on him. When he was passing away in Vrindavan in his room, he never stopped serving. It was amazing. Even when he was confined to his room, he was still calling godbrothers in and giving them gifts. He was having all the garlands from the Radha Shamsundar in, and he had a little shelf next to him and he decorated it. I mean, and you know, we saw, and I spoke to the doctor before he left. And, you know, the doctor, before you go under, he'll say, well, do you want any wishes? Things. So he said, never take me to a hospital. He was there for 40 years. He never left the Krishna Balaram compound. I can go on and on for him. He was cooking and doing different services. He never left that compound. Never in 40 years. Just service. Just serving, serving. And the second wish he said, please do not allow anyone to serve me. Please don't allow anyone to serve. You know, when you're sick, that's one of the best things about sickness. Everybody all of a sudden gives you attention. He didn't want that. And then, you know, you see these people die. You know, it's just another experience. Anyway, and I'll just tell Prabhupada's story. There's so many others I have on the list, I don't have time. But I was there when Prabhupada came to leave the world. There weren't many people there in Vrindavan at the time. There's no one there. We couldn't fill up the guest house. Prabhupada said, advertised by the train station, maybe someone would come. Got it. What is it, 30, 40 people there at the time? There's not many people. So when we heard Prabhupada was coming from Rishikesh to leave the world, we went to his room. And he looked at us soberly and said, he was sitting on a chair, he was sitting in his room. He said, "What is death but a change of body?" And then he quoted from the Gita, "Dehaino smin yata dehe komaranyo vanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tata." As the embodied soul passes from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, similarly at the time of death, they go to another body. The self-realized soul is not bewildered. And then Prabhupada said, "I have some things, if one has to die, then let him come to Vrindavan. Everything is here. The white sands of Ramanreti, around where we were, the peacocks, the Jamuna." So he had that bhav, that consciousness. And then, you know, we were there, you know, in his room, surrounded by the devotees, chanting, you know, and soberly, not with tubes in him, but soberly, listening to the devotees chanting, he passed away. So how important it is to live the soul now. Live the soul now. And when Prabhupada was in his room, I remember his young sannyasis came in. You can imagine at that time, to be 30 was old in the movement. Prabhupada left in 77. I had just turned 27. Most of the devotees weren't that much older. There were a few people that maybe were in their 30s. Prabhupada looked into sannyasi and said, "Don't think this won't happen to you." So as we look at the world changing around us, we could practice by having faith that Krishna will protect us and seeing every change and every opportunity is just an opportunity to serve and transform ourselves. Okay, are there any reflections on today's class? Anybody have any reflections, something they want to share that they...
Yes, good morning, Maharaj.
Thank you.
This is Isabel.
Thank you.
This was very, very, very touching for me, very good for me. I know this is going to sound strange to say, but I was lucky enough that both of my parents died in my arms, not at the same time, but they both died in very similar ways in the sense that I was holding them on my left arm and their head was laying right in my heart. But the difference here, and this is why this has touched me so much, I'm getting a little emotional, but my father, when he died, it was a lot of suffering and I was much younger and it hurt me so much because he was my best friend and I felt like I was losing everything. And it was very tumultuous. Like, it was very, very rough, his death. But I wasn't in bhakti. I wasn't even in yoga. That was 2006. My mother passed away in December of 2018. And again, the same way in my arms, but the difference that yoga and especially bhakti brought to me, my mother died peacefully. I accepted it peacefully. And even after her death, I could do nothing but celebrate her life. And it's such a difference what this path has done to me and my faith and, you know, the process of understanding death. And so this was very, very good for me today. And I thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Isabel. And that's very beautiful, very beautiful. And that was you know, that poem by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavs die, because Vaishnavs die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So in the Gita, it says, Neha bikramanasho sti pratyavidyo navidyate, swelpam apyasya dharmasya trayate, that bhakti saves you from the greatest type of fear. And I saw that in my own life when I was young. I was only 6 years old. I was thinking of my future, and I was thinking of relatives that were older than me, and the next one was older than me, and this and this and this. And then it went all the way to death, and I became afraid. And that sense of temporality always stayed with me on my head. And then when I met the devotees and understood that I was a soul, and that, you know, the end of the body wasn't, it was such like taking a rock off my head. Mm-hmm. Because when you think that the end of the body is the end of existence, then it's very depressing.
Yeah.
To say the least. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you
for sharing that, Isabel. Thank you for coming on the Sanghas. I appreciate it.
I love it. Thank you for accepting me on it.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Anybody else like to?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Bhakti Devi.
You know, I loved the very last thing that you said, which was that every change, I guess, especially as you age, is an opportunity to serve. You know, and it just reminded me of like when Ram Dass had his, I guess he had a stroke and he was confined. And he explained it as also an opportunity to serve, and how much deeper within he went. So thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Bhakti Devi. Everyone's giving such great. Anybody else like to share?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Tiffany.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the story of your god sister Gauri and how the doctor said that the disease is finished. That really touched me very deeply. I'm so grateful for that story because it gives me an even deeper sense of how it is a disease, you know, the false ego and you know, everything we go through in material life. And once we leave the body, you know, as devotees, we have an opportunity to go back to Godhead and not, you know, come back here and go through all the miseries and right. all the things that happen. So yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, my greatest fear is taking birth again and having to go to PS200 again. And then the competition for sense gratification as you get older and trying to find your identity. And at least it should be Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Brashta Brijayate, that if we practiced yoga enough, then at least we can take birth in a situation. Take birth in a situation that allows us at an early age to take up the process. Anybody else like to share any reflection, something the class that you took away?
Hi, Chris.
Oh, go ahead, Gail.
Go ahead, Jamona.
Okay. I just want to thank you for class, Maharaj. I really love the two mantras that you sort of said at the end of class. One, the live the soul now. Is just a really beautiful one. I live very close to a hospital. And so all day long I hear siren, 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 siren. So it's sort of I think every time one goes by, I will say that to myself. And then the beautiful mantra of the woman, I think this is going to be a button for Vyasa Puja. Chris is in charge, leave it to him. Everything will be okay. What a beautiful like mantra to just keep saying right. over and over again.
Do you remember her at all?
Yes, I do. I do remember her, yeah.
Yeah, she was wonderful. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay, anybody else with a reflection?
Well, I had a tie between Parikshit Maharaj's statement, what is it, or a question, what is the duty of a man who is about to die?
Yeah.
I like what, you said that, you know, well, that's everybody, because who knows when you're going to die? So
right.
That was an interesting thing. And then also, you know, if you give up your attachments, then there's no death for you. Because death is like the ripping away of your attachments. If you no longer have that sense of selfish enjoyment mentality, then where is the death for you actually?
Yeah, this is the philosophy. It's a challenge, as we discussed this morning. Okay, a few more, because I have about five or six more minutes before I have my next activity.
I was just reminded, in November, my grandma had a stroke, and I was definitely intensely facing, like, day after day, the weight, like you said, of temporality. And just that time, you mentioned December 2nd, you sent out a Monday morning greeting. And it was exactly what I had been meditating on in the statement you had made, that like the extent to which we're situated in the false ego, it's completely horrific. And to watch people go through that is also really frightening. Whereas the extent to which we're situated in our factual identity, then like it can never be fearful. So that was really, that time, like particularly the fact that you had sent that Monday morning greeting, it felt
I remember you told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I wrote a thing on fear of death. And right. Yeah. It's, that's and why, also, go ahead.
I'm listening. Just going to say the affirmation to even, for someone who has so little knowledge, just to even understand that I exist, like I exist no matter what, is so radical, really, and transforming.
That's what I felt myself when I came to the Hare Krishna movement. And before that, there was just this rock of I will not exist on my head. And it was just lifted. And it was just like, wow, you know? It's like being freed from a death sentence, a sentence to die on death row, you know? And Nehab, that's the Gita, Nehab ikamanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate, saves you from the greatest type of fear. And I kind of experienced that. Thank you. Okay, very good. Anybody else? Okay, anybody like to say hello? We can just... a few people, it kind of helps create the community mood.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Aaron.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, good. Gloria there too. Oh, that's Hemalata, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. that's from Buenos Aires, right? No, Mar de Plata, right? Okay. It's great, because I feel now you're back in New York with all of us, so it's great. I'm sure everybody's happy to see Hemalata. Okay, thank you. Good.
Likewise.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Ghanashyam Das.
Oh, I'm sure you'd be interested. Would you like to say a few words?
I just really appreciated what you shared, Maharaj. I think the same with Jamuna Jaya. What really struck me in your talk was live from the soul now. Because I think if we're identified with the false ego, then it's actually natural to fear death. Because in one sense, the false ego will have to die. And the conditioned self and the personality that we're identifying does change. And so in one sense, it dies. And so to fear, if we're only living from the false ego, then it's just the most natural thing that you have to fear death because that does die. But if we identify with the spirit and practice that now, that's the only solution to overcoming the fear of death.
You must be trying to communicate that to a lot of people now, huh?
Yeah, it's tough. I am working now in the hospital, and a lot of people are passing away right now, but it's tough because they're so sick, at least the ones that I'm working with, that conversations are difficult. So mostly my role has just been, you know, praying for them, praying with the family, and trying to just be a support and try to, you know.
And the family can't even come in, right?
Exactly, yeah. But now they're scheduled, they're making a, they're scheduling where maybe one family visitor could come if someone is actively dying and they can see them. And so I'm like escorting them into the room sometimes now and being with them.
Are you on double duty or anything like that? I mean,
no, it's my normal schedule, which is, you know, full time, but it's normal, but it's just an intense time in the hospital right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, nice to connect with you. Thank you for that.
You too, Mirage. Thank you.
Okay. I have two more minutes. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribo Maharaj, this is Atik Sundari Radha.
Haribo. Good. I want to touch base with you this week. I have some service for you.
Okay, yeah, great.
Okay. We'll talk. Okay, sometime send me an email, remind me. We'll make some time to touch base. Okay, good to see you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, this is Dagasa Priya. Thank you for class.
That's from Gokarna on the west coast of India. Thank you. Good to see you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Jan.
Hey, Jan. Okay. I know. Good to see you. Thank you. Good. Okay, one or two more people?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. This is Takarani.
Okay, great. One more, and then I'll go to the next activity.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopina.
Okay, Haribo. Okay, one Haribo. Or two more.
I really appreciated you speaking of Jayati Radhika.
Yeah, what a great soul, huh?
Yes.
Just remembering her smile. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shurupa.
Wow, it's so nice to hear all the devotees. Okay, a few more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Karuna Parna, Kaylee Kadamba.
Hare Krishna.
And Jal Kaylee.
Wow, okay, great. Joe Cayley, give me a little update on the book today and let me know when we'll have it finished, okay? Whenever. We can talk later. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow.
And Kamala here.
Oh, great. We have someone from Pueblo, Mexico, and someone from Cyprus. Thank you all for coming. That's great. It's so, this medium is great because it really creates community. And it's so nice to me, it's like a service dream, you know, because it's so easy to just go online. And when I get up early in the morning, because I really take it seriously, I look at what I'm going to do. So try to give something of quality. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Great.
Okay. You know, definitely thinking a lot about my mom, and you know, this is a nice meditation on Easter.
Oh, right, yeah. I remember her well. Well, yeah. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Wow, okay, from Cali, Colombia. Thank you. Okay, great to see both of you. Okay, I will. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Chinmay Radha. Good to see you.
Great. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, I'll go now because I have to start my next activity. Okay, thank you all. I'll see you next Wednesday if anybody wants at 7:30. We'll continue the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Haribol.